This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
I want to welcome our newest four-star general, Mark Naird, formerly number two at the Air Force.
Thank you. It has always been my dream to command a service branch.
Our nation's internet runs through our vulnerable space satellites. POTUS wants complete space dominance. To that end, the president is creating a new branch, Space Force, which Mark will run.
What?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and together with me in the studio, we have Sharmila Ganesan. Over Skype, we have Arvind Yuvaraj, and today it is our review episode. And what we're reviewing today is the first season comprising 10 episodes of Netflix's Space Force.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. All right. Strong start, guys. Great.
Well, I mean, I think part of the problem was that this comes with such prestige, right? It's by It's by Greg Daniels. It stars Steve Carell. So, you know, if you loved The Office, if you loved Parks and Rec.
In fact, it's co-created by Greg Daniels and Steve Carell.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And then it stars like John Malkovich and Lisa Kudrow. There was a lot of expectations riding on this. And all I can say is like, meh, which I think is kind of sad.
So I think the way they pushed it is exactly the problem, because they said it's from the people who made The Office and Parks and Rec. So immediately you put people in a sort of zone where they're expecting a lot of funniness and a lot of greatness from this show. But I watched it sort of oblivious to those things. I watched it because it was something I wanted to watch, and I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it a lot. I like the people who are in it. I like that John Malkovich is in it. I like Ben Schwartz, who's in it.
I really like
Ben Schwartz. Yeah. Steve Carell, of course, goes without saying. So as far as like I don't know what you would call this, like a space comedy or parody of President Donald Trump's announcement, it's fine. Like I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So I think that gets us to what the show actually is about, because it's a combination of things, right? It's both a political parody as well as a workplace comedy. Mm-hmm. And it is about the formation of the United States Space Force. And so Steve Carell is basically a six-star general,
yes.
General Mark Naird, who is from the Air Force and is now being commandeered or asked to take on this project of putting boots on the moon. And he is, I guess, a classic Steve Carell buffoon character. You know, he's somebody who is in charge, but maybe doesn't know that much. And he has to work with scientists, you know, here headed up by Adrian Mallory in the form of John Malkovich. And so I think for me, it does too many things at once. So if you ask me my feelings about it, I started off just so mad. I was so angry at it for not being what I wanted it to be and for not knowing. I felt it did not know what it wanted to be either. And then as time progressed, there were parts of it that I really, really liked, which we'll get to.
Yes, I don't mean to say that it's entirely unwatchable. I actually watched the entire series, the entire first season. I don't know if they're going to be more, but not sort of by force. I was quite happy to watch them. But I do think, though, that this is a show that doesn't do well being on a streaming platform. I think this is the kind of episode, if we think of The Office, for instance, we watched it once a week. And Lynn, you mentioned this as well. The first season of The Office was difficult. It was patchy. It took time to find its legs.
Yes.
But the fact that we only watch it once a week gives you time to kind of let go of the things that you didn't enjoy as much and hold on to the things that you did. With Space Force, watching one or two episodes back to back or three episodes of, you know, whatever doesn't really work for me, because all the things that annoyed me in the ones that I've watched then just sits with me when I watch the next one. And then it just kind of builds. Whereas if I gave it time in between, I found it a sort of pleasant, occasionally worth watching, but I can leave it on in the background sort of thing, which is the fact that it's people like Steve Carell, for me, is not a good thing.
Is the problem that you know it's supposed to be making fun of Donald Trump's announcement that there will be a Space Force? So the show is based on the concept that they would, that the US would have a Space Force. So then this show sort of makes fun of it. But it's a very earnest take on that concept. You
is
know what
it
I mean?
Earnest? Is it?
So I have thoughts, but Lynn, you can go first.
Sorry. The hissing snake in a corner. Look, I was just thinking about that word earnest, which is why I reacted that way, because I'm not sure if this is an earnest show. I can't tell. I think that if you want to do the political parody stuff, then it has to be a lot sharper and you have to know who your targets actually are, because the political parody, I think, is by far the weakest element of Space Force. I don't think they do it well. When they have to go to Congress, when it involves Congress people, not so great. When it involves POTUS and FLOTUS, then it's a little funnier. But when they're trying to make sort of searing remarks about how Congress handles these things, then I thought, oh, guys, come on. Where it was earnest, I thought, was in the workplace comedy element of it, when you're actually seeing characters settle in and build chemistry with one another. That stuff, I thought, then the earnestness and sweetness of something like The Office, Parks and Rec, that's when it emerged. Otherwise, I was like, meh.
Yeah, the personal relationships, separate from the Space Force-ness of the premise, worked quite well for me. Him and his daughter, or him and his wife, his workplace, well, not his colleagues, his subordinates. However, I think part of the problem is also this premise. So Steve Carell in The Office, his character could get away with being slightly dim-witted, slightly a little too convinced of his own superiority and knowledge about things, because they worked for a paper company and, you know, it was a different time. Transplant that same attitude, because he essentially is that. Transplant that same attitude into today's, climate of what the rest of the world thinks the US is, that they're a superpower that essentially looks like they are in the midst of a crisis. Not so funny anymore for me. I feel like this, oh, look at me, I'm just sweet at heart, and the fact that I might bomb half the world in my idiocy isn't as funny as, you know, just it being in a paper company for some reason.
I think that was my biggest issue with the show, is that I'm not sure if Steve Carell is supposed to be playing a bumbling idiot or if he's supposed to be like an honest person trying to make a living and trying to actually launch Space Force. Because by the end of episode one, he says something about confidence and trying new things and you have to have faith. People who carry umbrellas when there are two clouds in the sky cannot be the people who are launching rockets into space. And that's what he says, which I'm like, okay, so he's an average guy trying to make it out in the world by being this commander, admiral, whatever he is. But then by episode two, he's trying to get a monkey to fix something in space.
Yes.
You know, he's the guy who says that you should get a monkey or a dog to fix their problems. And I'm like, so which one is he? Like, is he supposed to be the bad guy or the good guy? And I think that was my biggest issue. If I ignored that, I think I would like the show a lot more. I still like the show. It's just that Steve Carell is sort of inconsistent.
The whole show is inconsistent.
Yeah. I'm loath to put it on Steve Carell's shoulders alone, because actually I think as the series progresses, he kind of starts to become the linchpin in the same way that he and John Malkovich, actually, the chemistry that they have with one another, that's what holds the show together at its heart. And so I don't know that I want to say it's Steve Carell's fault, even though if there was ever a time, this would be it. I mean, he's co-creating, he's starring in, but I think, I don't know. I think that episode that you're talking about, the one with the monkey and the dog, actually, that was the one where I thought you really would have benefited from being a network comedy. Because I think that structure...
You don't
forced,
need 40 minutes.
No, yeah. Forced into a tight 22 minutes with an ad break, that's the way to tell this story. And I almost never think that, right? Like, who misses ad breaks? We're now in a day and age where we don't have to wait for anything. But in this situation, I was like, dudes, you guys are... I understand letting this play on for the awkwardness. I understand that people who are used to doing awkward comedy, where you sit in silence for a whole minute, which in network TV time is an eternity, for you, this new space is a luxury. I get that. That should have been edited. There are some episodes that really, really would have benefited from a harsh editor.
Mm. I felt that way about the whole show. I don't think it needed 10 episodes to tell the story that it was telling. And weirdly enough, with 10 episodes, when the season ends, you're left with questions that you're kind of like, I'm not sure I want to wait another season to answer some of these questions, particularly things about Lisa Kudrow and why she's absent for a bunch of the episodes and what happened with her character. They don't really explain it. And I feel like that's a bit of a cheat from the audience point of view.
That's weird, right? Because the show feels, it's only about 20 plus minutes per episode, but it feels
longer.
No, it's longer.
Yeah, it's about 30 plus some of them.
It feels like an hour. Like the show feels like it goes on for a lot longer than it actually is. And then when you check the runtime, you're like, whoa, this is only like half an hour or 25 minutes or whatever. Yeah, so completely agree. The editing needs work.
We're talking about Space Force, which is available for streaming right now. And it, of course, stars Steve Carell. It reunites the officers Greg Daniels and Steve Carell. So mixed reactions across the board here, but let us know if you've seen it and if you liked it. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and we will be back to continue this conversation after this. Keep it here. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is a great adventure we are embarking on today. There will be setbacks, but greatness was never won without sacrifice.
Oh, he is blowing it just like you thought. Yeah, it is a complete show. Oh, my dry cleaner. Yeah, they lost my dress wipes.
Space should be a zone of wonder, not of conflict and death.
As a scientist, you have a loyalty to reason. It makes you a little untrustworthy.
How much was that prototype?
4 million?
Middle schools cost as much as 4 new middle schools.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are reviewing Space Force, which, as we've been saying, reunites Greg Daniels and Steve Carell, of course, of The Office fame. It's a big cast. It stars Steve Carell, John Malkovich. It also has Tawny Newsome, Lisa Kudrow,
Ben Schwartz.
Yep. So a bunch of people. Yeah. And let's talk, I think, we've been focusing a lot on the Steve Carell-John Malkovich pairing because they occupy most of the time. How do we feel about the side characters?
You know, I actually, so this is a show that I'm really torn about for many reasons. And one being that many of the characters are actually quite interesting. I like Lisa Kudrow as the wife. And, you know, especially in the later half of the show, things happen between her and Steve, Mike Nerd, Steve Carell's character, that are really quite interesting. I like the daughter, even though it's a little cliched, the sort of grumpy teenager who apparently can't understand that her dad is a general for the United States. But yeah, it's just that the inconsistency of what the show wants to do with them that annoys me, because sometimes certain people are a certain way, and then in the next episode, they're not as important, or the show kind of positions them. I guess the main problem is you never quite know where your center is with the show. Who are you supposed to be rooting for? What does the show want to say? What is its central push?
That's what I mean about the parody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, I for me, it felt like they were doing exactly what The Office and Parks and Rec used to do. Like, you would have like two main leads or main characters, and then the others would sort of either show up one episode and have like 2 minutes, and then show up the next episode and have an entire episode to themselves. And I felt like this was following that template. They were focusing on Steve Carell and John Malkovich, and then you would get like Ben Schwartz showing up here and there. You would get Jimmy or Yang, I think, would show up in certain other episodes, but they wouldn't have to focus primarily on them. And I'm not sure. So for me, it just felt like the sitcoms that they usually work on.
Okay, so I have some problems with that train of thought, I think, simply because if that's the case, then don't set it to the Space Force. Like, don't make it about the Space Force. And I think, so I would happily have watched a high-stakes workplace comedy starring all of these people. I don't think there's any issue with any of it. if they weren't also trying to play the political parody card. That is my biggest thing. I think that there are some parodies of the US government that just don't feel true to form, I think. And especially living in a world where you have something like Veep that is holding up the gold standard of how to do that and how to be razor sharp and get it right. And you're on Netflix. You can swear. You can do anything. You know, you're not bound by those same rules. And in the same way that HBO could unleash Veep in its full foul-mouthed glory, if you wanted to do the same or if you wanted to go there, you can. So do or don't, but, you know, don't kind of step in and go, oh, the water's a bit cold. I don't know, guys. Yeah. That's my issue.
No, they their satire or parody basically just extends to doing what SNL does, honestly. They have actors who are literally spoofing people like Nancy Pelosi or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and not even with much intelligence. They're pretty much just, hey, I'm playing this person in a funny way, which, within the context of this kind of a show, I felt could have been done with much more intelligence, with much more, I don't know, with wit, as you said. It doesn't have to be, well, tons of people are doing this already and I'm just going to jump on this bandwagon because, hey, it's convenient.
The SNL comparison is so good because I just made that connection and I didn't realize it. And SNL is one of those things. I don't think SNL is good, but I watch SNL as a filler. Like, it's either background noise or if I want something quick to watch over lunch and I want to like gobble up my food, then it's SNL. Just because it's surface level, lame, dumb comedy. And a lot of Space Force is that. And I just realized that I feel the same way for both shows. Like, I don't hate them. I don't hate them at all. And I have an affection for SNL and I have like a soft spot for SNL as well. But it's the exact same thing. Like, it's very surface level. They don't take any risks. They play it safe. Like you said, they are Netflix. They can swear. They can do a lot more, but they don't. It's making fun of the US government on an SNL level.
Yes. And we don't really need another one.
I would watch second season. So, you know, just to put it out there, I think that, Sharmila, you referenced one of my favorite moments in the entire show, which is a discussion that Steve Carell or General Mark Ned has with his wife, whom he's currently separated from, like physically separated from. And they have a really interesting conversation that I haven't really seen expressed in a TV show that isn't otherwise, you know, all about marriages, for example, all about relationships. Instead, it kind of sits and it's done in a very subtle, very personal way. And it's played by two very good comedic actors. And in that moment, I thought, if you give me more of this, I'd watch the show and I'd watch it with enthusiasm. And so it's those little moments, those little things where, you know, John Malkovich reaches over and adjusts Steve Carell's tie. It's those things where I'm like, I'm here for this, actually. I'm here for this cast. I like the level of talent is outstanding. Now the writing just kind of needs to reach the same point. And so you know what? Netflix seems to have money to burn. So a second season, I would be, weirdly enough, all for it, at least for the first 5 episodes. And then beyond that, I think I would be able to firmly say one way or the next, not into it, or fine, I accept this show with all its flaws.
I think I would have said yes to a second season, more of John Malkovich, more of Steve Carell and Lisa Kudrow, these relationships, rather than the Space Force-ness. Until I saw the last episode of this season. And then they kind of went off the rails in a weird way. And I feel like however they recover from this, it's not going to be in a way that's going to be enough for me to buy the premise of a second season.
I would love to see a second season, maybe even second and third, because and I'm pretty sure there will be, because it has consistently been in the top 10 for, I think, a few weeks now. So I'm pretty sure there will be a season two, and I'll give it a chance, because there have been like so many shows that I've grown to love over, you know, a few seasons at least. You know, you give them a shot to sort of fine tune the writing and, you know, bring some more characters in and write some of them off. I think there's a lot of room to improve with the show, but I definitely like to see a second. second season.
I think this totally speaks to what you were saying earlier, Sharmila, about the Netflix timeline, about the binging timeline. What happens to a show when you binge it? Sometimes it just, you know, it throws up a lot of irritation. And in this case, I think it is best to space it out, right?
Like, I agree.
Yeah, don't treat it like a lighthearted comedy that you're going to sit and binge, because it doesn't hold up to that kind of scrutiny. But for entertainment's sake and for some surprising moments of real quality and clarity, I'm with Arvin. I would give it another shot.
Sure, if you need something to watch while you're eating or cooking.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying what I did.
While cooking?
Yeah.
While cooking, you're barely even like paying attention to the... So background noise. It goes back to, you know, just leaving it on for background noise.
Because you don't really need to watch what's happening, but listening to it is quite funny still.
We can agree.
I'm sorry we've been a downer.
We can agree to disagree. It's fine. So we've been talking about Space Force. Have you seen it? Are you enjoying it? Are you not? You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my. If you would like, again, to follow us on social media, see what we're up to, we can be found at BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.